Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Of WCW Retro, we are here. So far, so good. I hope everybody is here. I know Shro is joining me. I am the host, Dan Colachico, the above average comedian. Welcome to the Starcade edition, WCW Retro. Joining me, as always, is former WCW superstar and indie wrestling star, Shro, the Maestro of Wrestling. Shro, how you doing?
Doing great. I'm here live from the location of the 2004 Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Fan Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, you know what? Go into that for a second. How's your day been? You've taken a few pictures with some fans and some former friends, well, not former friends, but former wrestling stars with you as far as WCW goes. How's the day been so far?
Doing great. In fact, I ran to one of my old WCW buddies, Ernest the Cat Miller here. Sabu has been here. Kevin Sullivan, Rock and Roll Express, and I just had a Q&A here with Magnum T.A., Tully Blanchard, Kevin Sullivan, J.J. Dillon, and Barry Windham. And Jim Cornette's getting ready to start this Q&A here in a few.
I tell you what, nothing was funnier to me than seeing the picture of you and Ernest Miller, because we've talked about it on this show about that feud you guys had. I really wish that that would have gone a little longer, because it, as far as I was concerned, it was working, and it kind of just it was one of those feuds that didn't. The payoff was too quick, I guess, is what I'm looking for. You guys should have gone a little longer, and there's nothing else going on.
Yeah, I remember earlier today, Ernest went home to me and showed me a picture with James Brown and everything we did, and it was, and then you said, you know, and just looked at, we kind of looked at this at the same thing. It was like too soon, you know. It was just cut too soon because it was working, like you said. It was on fire at the time.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I wasn't there. I can't. You would know better than I. I don't claim to be a great wrestling booker or a booker at all. So I'm just the guy that talks. But it's funny you mention, you know, the likes of J.J. Dillon and Tully Blanchard and those guys, because today we are in fact finally talking about one of the. At one time, one of the most exciting and probably the first big show one of the companies put on. It was it was NWA Starcade. Originally, of course, it was just like WrestleMania started. It was closed circuit television around the United States, and before pay per view, this was the event. Started in 1983. So before you had WrestleMania, before you had Hulk Hogan at his prime, you had Flair and Harley Race. You had Starcade. You had Ricky Steamboat. One of the most brutal matches I've ever seen, and I'm sure you would agree with me, is Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine and that dog collar match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, that was a kind of innovative match at the time, you know, being the dog collar. And, you know, Starrcade was like the culmination of all the feuds where feuds end and get settled. You know, it was the big show, the grand event of the year. And, you know, that all the feuds kind of came to a head there right there at Starrcade. So, I mean, you have classic matches and some like way past their time.
You had Bob Orton Jr. and Dick Slater versus Youngblood and Wahoo McDaniel. I know the great Kabuki was in a match. Hold on, I'm bringing it up now. But I know he was in a title match, I believe, for the NWA TV Championship at the time. Kevin Sullivan was there. Ricky Steamboat, I mentioned earlier, and Jay Youngblood versus the Briscoes. I mean, this is a virtual who's who's of NWA. Again, Ric Flair and Harley Race. I mean, they went 23 minutes, and it's not – and of those who are listening who haven't really watched wrestling in the 80s and kind of skip and go to the, you know, mid-90s, around 88, 89, the change, I say, was happening – where you'd get, quote-unquote, the modern-day wrestling match, if that makes sense. If I'm saying that wrong, please correct me when I'm finished, because you would know again. But you got Flair and Race going 23 minutes, damn near a half an hour, and there's no finesse. It's just two guys beating the crap out of each other for almost a half an hour in a cage.
Yeah, you know, it was a different era at the time. I mean, You got guys like Flair and Harley, you know, going an hour every night, and the Funks and the Briscoes. And, I mean, even guys like Dusty Rhodes would hang with them for hours at a time every night. I mean, the cardio was unreal, you know, with those guys back then, because, you know, they had to perform the best of their ability and pace themselves in the ring. So, I mean, like you said, I mean, they would go out there and just go at it, just, you know, for a long period of time, which you know, which is a lot different than you say in today's market.
And a little bit about, oh God, way different. All I can see, whenever I think of the first Starrcade, other than Piper taking a shot to his ear with the chain, is just Flair's, and we've seen Flair bleed gallons of blood many times, but just that picture of him with the title, just bleeding, that classic shot of him coming out of the cage is just something that sticks in my head. I didn't see any of the first Starrcades. I'll tell you how I first saw them. And they were, of course, abridged. But in late 98, early 99, WCW was releasing those best of videos.
Like right.
The Slam, best of Bash of the Beach, best of, which I still have. I copied them to DVD. But they came out with the best of Starrcade Part 1. And it was 83 to 89. So that was the first time I was able actually to, other than just showing brief shots on like a Saturday night or a Nitro, that was the first time I actually saw any of these matches for any length of time. And finally, you know, the first WWE Starrcade DVD, before the network came out, they had some of these matches. But now with the network, being able to go back, the third show I watched was that first Starrcade when the pay-per-views came out. And, man, talking about a different time. Not that the performers don't work hard now, but how to work in a dark Greensboro Coliseum during a winter storm, you know, 17,000 people there. Man, that's a different time.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, it was a much, much different time. And I mean, the guys back then had to work, that extra mile to, you know, draw money and make money, you know, for the, you know, the companies they're with. So, it was a different era, and, you know, which, you know, we got to see some, you know, real classics.
I will say this about that first one, the little numbers here. Greensboro Coliseum, 83. Sold out attendance, I overestimate. It was 15,447, excuse me. That's still a sellout. 500,000 at the gate. And I mentioned briefly, it was closed circuit, but it was affecting locally because of the winter storm. The closed circuit alone drew 30,000. And that's in 83. So that's pretty groundbreaking. I mean, I think WrestleMania came in and just took the bar to the next level. But that's the thing about WrestleMania. I think, just to mention this at the forefront, and of course, Stro, after comment, see how you feel about this. I think for a couple of years there, when it was NWA, they were pushing, obviously, Starrcade as the event. This is our event. This is our main event for the year. This is what it's going to be. And I think, especially going back and watching some of the old Nitros, at least in the later 90s, once the Turner switch came over full-time and it was World Championship Wrestling, I think they kind of lost Starrcade in the shuffle as far as all the pay-per-views go, and they didn't push it. The WWE, you know, they stayed on the fact that WrestleMania, that's our event. And I think Starrcade kind of got lost in the big jumble of 12 shows a year.
Yeah, I do agree with that also. I mean, Crockett Promotions really went out of their way to push Starrcade every year, being the, you know, grand event. And I think, you know, when the WCW takeover took place, you know, I mean, the promotion was quite mediocre compared to what Crockett Promotions did. So you look back at the earlier Starrcade, I mean, it just felt the atmosphere was more special, you know what I mean, during that time, I felt.
Now, right away, the next year, I think they pretty much took that as a sign, okay, this is something we're going to run every year. And again, it returned in 84 to the, and this is on Thanksgiving weekend. That's another thing. That was happening a lot. Like later on, WWE would have Survivor Series. World Class was in the Star Wars out of Texas every Thanksgiving and on Christmas. And NWA, I keep doing that. You're going to have to hit me. NWA was doing Starrcade every holiday season. And this also was from the Green Coliseum. And you mentioned Dusty Rhodes before. Main event was, again, Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes for the NWA Championship. I believe that was the one with the – was that Joe Frazier was the referee, correct?
Yeah, the Million Dollar Challenge.
Right, that was the name of the – yeah. I got to go back and watch that. That's got one of my favorite matches in it. Something I've seen – you know, I saw it once on that video I mentioned earlier, and I've seen it 100 times since – that Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and also Tully Blanchard and Steamboat for the television title is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody talks about – go ahead.
Yeah, that was a really, really great match. And during that match, Steamboat was selling a rib injury at the time.
Oh.
And, you know, and he was you know, going to the match, you know, firing back best he could, but he kept favoring those, you know, those ribs, and, you know, and then Tully, you know, being the heel that he was, took advantage of the situation. And, but, it, you know, classic, two greats, you know, what a classic.
People always, I don't think they lose it, but they always talk about Tully and Magnum that next year, or in 80, I think it was 86. Man, I don't remember. I'm going to get to it. It was 86 or 87, that cage match. But Blanchard and Steam, what a feud. And that was also for the TV title and, I believe, 10 grand, I think.
I think that
was for 10 grand.
Exactly. Because they had during that time, they had, like, to put the 10 grand on line along with the TV championship. Tully did, you know?
We've talked about a show. Dean and I have talked about, and Chris have talked about on HIAC Talk Radio, we've talked about the old prizes that would be up for grabs, like a brand new Cadillac or a $10,000 purse. And I really think they should do that. Somebody should win a Prius on a Raw or something.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. I mean, it'll just give more that much more credibility. You know what I mean?
Until Gino Hernandez comes in with a chain and just beats the crap out of the Cadillac, but that's a different company. I see. Now, 85 was another rematch with Flair. First of all, what would be your favorite match from the first two Starcades, if you could pick?
First two Starcades. There was quite a few. I know Steamboat and Youngblood with the Briscoes was really good. And that was a classic there. You know, you just mentioned Piper and Valentine. And then I think it was the Andersons and I think it was Wahoo and Buzz Sawyer, I believe, tagging together. Oh, no, it was Billy Jack Haynes. I'm sorry. Billy Jack Haynes and Wahoo with the Andersons, Only an Iron.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes, you are right. Man,
right.
That's one thing I've only seen through the past. I've seen Ole and I'm sorry. I've seen Arn and Tully, but I haven't seen a lot of Ole and Arn, which you can see back on the network with these old pay-per-views. They also, at that point, Ole Anderson and a gentleman I don't remember, and see if you can help me with this one, in that 84 Starcade, it was the Koloffs versus Ole Anderson and Keith Larson?
Keith Larson, yep.
I do not remember Keith Larson. I'm sorry if you're out there, if you're alive and around listening. Sorry, sir, I don't remember.
Yeah, and also, you know, remember Don and Rocky Knuckle?
Yeah, Don Knuckle. He was in Ole Anderson's and Keith Larson's corner for that match. That's what intrigued me. Don Knuckle. 1985. Now, this is the first one I ever heard about when I was real, real young, and it was for the Magnum TA Tully Blanchard steel cage match, Starcade '85, which is a rematch with Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. But you had Ole and Arn Anderson again, as you said, versus the McDaniel and Billy Jack. You had Billy Graham and the Barbarian in an arm wrestling match, which turned into a wrestling match. You had the Rock and Roll Express with, as you just mentioned, Don Knuckle versus the Koloffs again. And I talked to Tully about this match. This is one of the matches that always gets mentioned, that Magnum TA Tully Blanchard match. When I was watching Magnum TA stab him in the head with the piece of that chair, I felt every inch. Obviously, you guys take care of each other, unless you hit and you shoot on them. But you guys take care of each other. Those guys made it look so much. Oh, it looks so it looks so bad that he was just gouging his brain with this piece of chair. Years later, you watch it and you're like, oh man, that's such a good match. But as a kid, it scared the hell out of me watching Tully get stabbed in the head with a piece of chair.
Oh yeah, that match definitely set the bar. I mean, you had one of the truest heels ever in the history of the business, in the Tully Blanchard and the rising star in Magnum TA. And that, you know, I really think Tully really helped elevated Magnum after that immensely after that match. I mean, what a classic.
I always I forget what DVD it was. I was pretty sure it's either the Starcade or the the WCW WWE produced DVD about Magnum TA and his accident. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he would have been in the business another 20 years if he didn't have that car accident. He would have been huge.
Oh, he'd have been the next champ, hands down. He would be the go to guy. Yeah, man, he was on his way, that's for sure.
Now, Starcade 86 was called the Skywalkers. Now, with all due respect to Jim Cornette, he's one of my fiancé's favorite manager, if not her favorite. He's one of my favorite managers. I steal lines from him all the time when I'm talking to friends. You had the Skywalkers match,
mm-hmm.
which has got to be one of the greatest ideas just because Cornette almost killing himself to climb up there to the top of the ladder. And the story he tells of the fact that every time the VHS advertisement popped up on screen, they showed him falling and screaming every single time.
Yeah, that repeated ad. That's all they would show was Cornette falling from the scaffold.
And it's not so much, like, I can watch it once, and I've had a surgery on both knees, so when I, after the first time watching him fall, I have to look away, but it's the scream, it's his, the sound he makes out of his mouth when he lands, I just, but you had the Road Warriors in the Midnight Express. Midnight Express, one of the best tag teams ever in wrestling. What are your thoughts on both the Road Warriors and the Midnight Express?
Oh, what a feud. I mean, no doubt. I mean, you had, like, Road Warriors, which was, like, I mean, on top of the world in tag team wrestling at the time. And you had Midnight Express, one of the greatest tag teams ever. And it's like, I mean, with the addition of Jim Cornette, I mean, it Paul Ellering, I mean, it just made for one greatest tag team feuds ever. And, you know, I mean, you couldn't go wrong with Midnight Express and Road Warriors, you know, I mean, on the card.
And no, I agree. I mean, even to the point where when Sting and Warrior broke into the business, they were trying to break in and get the Warriors' attention with the makeup, and that started both of their careers, trying to emulate what the Road Warriors were doing. Tully Blanchard, a year later, again, involved in a bloody match. It was him versus Dusty Rhodes, blood match for the TV title.
Wasn't that the very first blood match they had? Was that first blood?
I think it was.
I think it was too.
And then a young Big Bubba Rogers defeated Ron Garvin in a street fight. Ron Garvin, I don't think he reached. Looking back at the matches, it's somebody that was really – the crowd stood behind him, and it just didn't look like he ever got to that one step to be big. Do you think it was just the audience not getting behind him, or do you think Ron Garvin just didn't focus on
it? Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure. I mean, Ronnie's always been a solid competitor, you know what I mean, in the ring and all that, and, like – You know, it's like, you know, there was some, like, you know, I guess political indecision at the time when, you know, he was feuding Flair for the title, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But he did, you know, as we saw, you know, became the heavyweight champion, you know, for a little while. And I thought the matches with him and Flair were intense and great classics. I mean, those cage matches they had were very intense.
I'm glad you said that, because I was about to mention now, the match he had with Flair, the first time I saw it, I was like, this is great. This is the two of them are telling a fantastic story, and I wanted Garvin to kill the guy. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what a rush was to see them, like, pound each other in the ring. I mean, it was tremendous.
Hands of stone, Ronnie Garvin. This was also the first match, this was the first show that was actually, this was in two venues. This was at the Greensboro Coliseum and the Omni in Atlanta. And that was an idea that WWE also, they both tried it. I think logistically, I think that's a bit of a nightmare to try to pull off. I don't think I'm talking out of turn when I say that's true.
No.
You know, hey, let's have it in two places. No, let's have it in three. We'll do one better and have it in three. That's a good idea. But yeah, we already mentioned it. Moving on to Starrcade 87 in Chi-Town was that Ric Flair and Ronnie Garvin match. I mean, that was one of the best championship matches, in my opinion. I've been argued about this for years. I still say I will put that up as one of my favorite Ric Flair matches at Starrcade.
Oh yeah, it was tremendous. I mean, what a great Starrcade it was in general. I mean, you had Tully Narn against the Road Warriors for the tag team titles, you know, and, I mean, what a great match that was, and it was just, I mean, wasn't, like, it was a six-man right to start off with the Freebirds, right? You know, Jimmy Garvin and Michael Hayes and taking on Sting and Eddie Gilbert, right? And Rick Steiner. And
actually, Sting was the Freebirds tag team partner.
Right, right.
And it was that third guy.
Eddie Gilbert.
And Larry Zbysko.
Larry Zbysko, that's it, right.
Yeah.
That was,
you also
that was the first match. That was the first match. You know what I mean? Wow.
Yeah, here you go. Everybody strap in. We're putting three of the most charismatic guys in the ring on one team against three of the most charismatic, well, maybe not Zbysko, but three of the most charismatic guy on the other side, and we're going to have him in a tag team match. Welcome to Starrcade. Thank you very much. I think that was Sting's first pay-per-view match, I believe. Was that your Starrcade? Unless
right,
he was at WrestleWorld.
Yeah, a lot of those guys, Sting and Steiner, they all came from the old UWF / Mid-South territory that Bill Watts was running.
GW, that, you know what? That is stuff that I have yet to see. I unfortunately have not had the pleasure to see any of some GWF stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and then during the time, you know, they were getting a little fluctuation talent from there, you know, and in which I remember watching Ric Flair and Terry Taylor one time having a classic there, the Mid-South territory during that time. So it was just like it was kind of merging in with like the NWA a little bit.
Here's the thing, Stro, and you grew up in wrestling. That's no secret. We always talk about, you know, in these days you have house shows. And you have, with the network now, you have Main Event airing on a delay, and you have NXT running. But especially in the mid-'80s, the NWA, the territory days when it was still around, you had guys that were – you had these feuds that were wrestling the same guys. We touched upon it very briefly, but – talk about this for a little while, because you mentioned it earlier in that first Starrcade. You had guys that would wrestle each other 16, 17 times in between a show before Starrcade, and then they'd go to Starrcade and then put on and blow the feud off when they've done it 15 or 16 times. A, they are exhausted, but B, they have to know each other like the back of their hands at this point, and that's why you have the matches you have on those Starrcades. They're just amazing.
Oh, yeah, yes, they are, because everybody pretty much wrestled each other or been in the ring with each other at one time or another before getting to the grand stage. So, you know, when it comes to being on the big show, I mean, it's like second nature, you know? there's a chemistry there, you know what I mean?
At that point, you know, they talk about it sometimes when the announcers are telling the story of the match, but they talk about it. It's like muscle memory at that point. This guy's going to do this. I'm going to react like this. I don't even have to think about it. I'm not going to breathe. It's just going to bing, bang, boom, done, and out of the way.
Right, right, right. It's, you just go up there, you know, leave it all in the ring. You know what I mean? Basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, basically. Has there been anybody you've ever wrestled so many times, and I mean that in a good way, has there ever been a guy that you could just go in there with your eyes closed and just go?
Oh, I've been quite a few. I mean, the Barbarian, Rob Van Dam, gosh, so many through the years that, you know, you just you don't even have to see each other for like weeks or months at a time, and you just get in the ring and it was just like you never left, you know. It's really great.
It's like playing it. I hate to. This is how you're an athlete and I'm not. I would liken it to a video game. It's best to have the PlayStation 2 and play a game you haven't played in 12 years and you still play it like you're an expert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, if Rob and I were stepping in the ring today, I mean, it would be the same way. I mean, it's like we never left to begin with. I mean, it was, you know, certain people in the ring, you're in the ring with, you just have that chemistry. You just kind of look at each other and know, you just like know, you know, it's going to be a great match.
Some of these guys I've met over the last couple of years in Jersey and Pennsylvania, Delaware, have wrestled so many matches, and And, you know, there's little groups that will go from, you know, little company, you know that. And they're such good friends, but they're also such good performers that every time you see these guys wrestle, and I'm talking about from CZW to, you know, WWWA to ECWA, any of those companies up in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, they wrestle again, and it's like it's a brand new match. They're just so good, and that's a lot of what you saw in NWA. They were just so in tune to each other that it was like clockwork in the early days.
Oh yeah. It's you know, because you know we're all on the road together at the time. You know, from territory to territory, wrestling each other every night, traveling to the towns and. You know, it's like I said, it's like we, you know, I'll leave it all in the ring and do it all over again the next night, you know.
I'm going to call an audible here. That's so funny. I'm going to call, you had me on that one. It made me laugh. I'm going to call an audible here. You still have the full hour to go. You can go. Are you good till 10:30?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so I'm going to play a commercial. I'm going to call an audible. We're going to play a commercial, talk about a few more Starcades. We're going to break this up into two parts because Starcade lasted a long time until the end of the company. So let me play a quick commercial, Strobe. We'll be right back, talk about a few more Starcades till about 10:30, and then we'll hit it. And we'll be right back into this, folks. You're joining the Strobe and Dan Calchico on WCW Retro.
This is D'Lo Brown, and right here, right now, you better recognize that I am down with the VOC Nation. Recognize that.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident-free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday or call live toll-free at 1-855-VOC-RADIO.
Hey, I'm the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and, of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Hola, hola, hola. I am Shelly Funtime Martinez.
And I am Dazzling Danielle.
And together we are
the Martinez Girls.
Tune in on VOC Nation at 7 p.m. Eastern every Saturday. And until then, Danielle, I and you are Audi 5000. Adios, toodles.
The godless voice of Crab Nation.
None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Park the car keys.
This is Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Entertainment with an attitude.
Fear is just one enemy.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, hey! WCW Retro, we're talking about Starcade. This is going to be part one because just too darn many of them. And I mean that in a good way. Starcade was the premier event for NWA/WCW for years, even though sometimes they might have not told you. I still believe it was their WrestleMania, and so do many people out there. I'm here at Gillers. I am Dan Colachico. Follow me on Twitter. Don't find me. Find me and follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83. With me, again, WCW star, indie star, Stro. How you doing, Stro? I know you're still there.
Oh, doing great. Yeah, I'm still here on live location at 2004 Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Legends Fan Fest. Thank Jim Cornette to start his Q&A. It's been a great time. And I know tomorrow, Arn Anderson, Ricky Steamboat will be coming by and as well. And Saturday, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes will be stopping by.
And you're there all
the,
weekend?
Yeah. And I was going to say, also, they're having tomorrow night the Hall of Heroes ceremony, in which it's like the Hall of Fame dinner and banquet, which they'll be inducting certain legends in the Hall of Fame, Hall of Heroes, rather, as they call it. So that'll be pretty cool. And then to have live wrestling matches Saturday and Sunday, and which Matt Hardy was here today, and Hurricane Shane Helms is here as well. So, and we could still see Awesome Kong and a few other sort of the top stars in the industry on hand. So it should be a real good time.
Do you ever have to slap yourself in the face sometimes when you're around? You're at the same place that you're with legends. You're in the same hall as legends at this point, man.
Oh, yeah. It's always a real treat. I always get goosebumps in my arms, you know, seeing some of these guys I've worked with, looked up to, mentored me, you know, I mean, through the years. And some I meet for the first time. So, I mean, it's always good to have conventions like this and fan fests, you know, where everybody can come together and reminisce, catch up, and, you know, relive some good memories.
I wouldn't know what to do with myself there. I'd have to be on my best behavior, not go, hey, what was it like wrestling Sting? You know.
I got that one today. Two times.
You know, you ever Saturday Night Live with Chris Farley when he used to interview the celebrities? Hey, remember when you were in the beach? That was awesome. You know,
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, I've seen one of Bobby Fulton's sons and Ricky Morton's son coming by that down the aisle here, wooing the aisle here. Pretty funny. Next generation still going woo, right?
I think the next four generations will probably be saying woo. And Flair might last out.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty good. we're about Starrcade 88. We're rolling through these, but I'm trying to give each of these its due because, like I said, for years there, they were classic events. But we're at Starrcade 88, which was the first Starrcade under the WCW banner, the official World Championship Wrestling banner, right before the event, Ted Turner bought Jim Crockett Promotions, and WCW, the full WCW, was born December 26, 1988, in front of 10,000 people at the Norfolk Scope. The Norfolk Scope was one of the
Magnum TA was doing commentary during that pay-per-view, right? And one of the main event, Lex Luger and Ric Flair for the title.
Yes, you are correct, sir. True Grit, right, as they say.
True Grit, yeah, that's it.
He also had Sting and Dusty Rhodes versus the Road Warriors.
Okay.
For the Walking Dead thing. Stroke. He's in Nashville. He didn't get the match. Okay, hold on. This is my stroke.
Hang on 1 second.
Sure.
Hey, how you doing? All right? Doing good, brother. You had it? Yeah. Yes, sir, man. Doing great. Doing great, man. That Calvin Davis is the Walking Dead, brother. Can't wait to watch. I'm excited, man. Should be a good season. Cool. Hey, brother, it's good to talk to you, man. You take care of yourself, all right? God bless.
Thanks, bro. Thank you, man.
Yes,
hold on.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
I'm back. Sorry about that. No. I had a fan come by talking about Walking Dead. You know, Walking Dead fan.
I'm not going to say a word. You can't do that. Bad.
Right. Oh man. But yeah, that was. I remember, you know, Luger and Flair for the title that night, and Luger had really leaned out for that match because, I mean, up to that point, you know, he was all buff. You know, he had only had a great body, but I mean, he did a lot of dieting and conditioning, and I mean, he was. I remember he looked the leanest I've seen him during that time in a long while, and he actually. I mean, it was actually one of his better matches with Flair. Honestly,
I agree. Oh yeah, I agree. And I was the guy. I can say this from as a fan experience. You know, I watched WCW all my life, and Lex Luger was one of those guys who, for better or for worse, he was always on top. And anybody can say what he wanted about his mic skills or whatever, but the guy was in somebody. He could work, and but him, those are with the horse.
Oh my God! I'm Ricky Morton. Hey, bro, what's going on, man? Maestro, WCW.
You don't know the idea who we are.
Yeah.
You don't know who we are, do you?
Oh, lay it on me.
You remember Barry Darsow?
Barry Darsow, yeah.
You have no idea.
Barry Darsow, yeah. Barry Darsow, huh? Okay. I think Tim is having too much fun. I went from being Ricky Morton to Barry Darsow.
Are you the golfing Barry Darsow?
Yeah, I guess I'll be Smash now. Next.
You know what? Bro, if you come after the
Egg,
repo,
you might even
man.
Call me. He might even call me Keith Larson for too long. You never know. Yeah, aren't you
come
Keith Larson?
Repo, man.
Yeah.
Hey, aren't you Kevin Cash?
Yeah. Yeah. Aren't you Wildfire Tommy Rich?
Hey, aren't you Ric Flair? That's a nice beard, Rick.
No, I'm Nitchie Boy Buddy Landell.
Oh, man. You know what? This is
crazy. Hey, brother.
Hey, man.
I still do the corkscrew elbow.
I didn't even know
I taught
Ric
Flair how to put on the figure four leg lock.
Oh, man.
Well, J.J. Dillon is here. He can vouch for me. But J.J. Dillon's here. He can vouch for me on Buddy Landell. He wanted to, you know, to the guy, so.
Sure.
After all, he did used to manage Buddy Landell, right? So.
Yeah, J.J. would never tell a lie either. He's J.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You still with me, Stro?
Oh, I'm still with you, man. Yeah, you know, another great match on Starrcade 88 was Rick Steiner winning the TV title from Mike Rotunda.
That's right. The varsity club was fighting at that point because Kevin Sullivan was in the corner of Rotunda, and Rick Steiner got his the TV title.
Yeah, because they brought in Dr. Death Steve Williams at a time, and that's when it kind of caused the friction, you know, and where Rick Steiner left the varsity club and started feuding with them, and really that was really starting to. Get Rick Steiner over, you know, big time babyface, you know, with WCW.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, that was another guy. Again, Rick Steiner was always one of those guys you popped hard for. I loved Rick Steiner. Even everybody, I think, went heel in the '90s. In '99, even when Rick Steiner went heel again with Sid Vicious, I was that's right, Rick Steiner. Woo! So funny.
Right.
Oh, what was that? Oh, that was what I was going to mention. We mentioned Rick Steiner and Mike Rotunda. When they came back, when the Varsity Club came back in late 99, I went insane. I thought
right.
That was the, like, nobody's going to remember this. It didn't last very long. When I knew, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, the dog-faced gremlin, man. You know, he was talking. To, remember, he was talking to Alex, his friend, imaginary friend, with his hand. And And you know, I remember when Steiner won the title that night, he did the whole, like, Bo Dallas thing, running around the ring. You know what I mean? Like, he won the Olympics.
I think Bo Dallas stole it from Steiner.
Totally. Oh, my goodness. And, didn't Dr. Death Steve Williams and Kevin Sullivan, did a tag match that night? Starcade?
Yeah, that was the opening match. They fought the Fantastics.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
And it was actually before we talked about it on our one of our compilation episodes. We talked about the U.S. Tag Team Championship. That was for that title, and the Varsity Club won from the Fantastics that night. Heck, I remember the Fantastics.
And speaking of true grit, who could forget the feud with Dusty Rhodes and the Road Warriors when they tried to take his eye out, and which led to the tag match for the tag team titles with the Road Warriors and it was like the Road Warriors and Sting and Dusty Rhodes taken together.
Yeah, it was Sting and Dusty Rhodes for the NWA Tag Team Championship, and that was one of those things I've only been able to read up on. I haven't seen any of the feud footage, the old Saturday nights. I haven't been able to see any of that. But that was one of those matches I saw early on when those VHSs started coming out with Starcade compilations.
I think they turned on Dusty, and then they turned Dusty and Sting, I believe, what kind of led into the.
And that's the thing, you got Sting in the ring, and you have Hawk and Animal of the Road Warriors, and Dusty kept up with everybody. Everybody, you know, has their opinion on Dusty as far as Booker, but I will never, ever, ever question that man's in-ring talent because, obviously, history shows his track record is solid.
I mean, come on. You're talking about – I mean, Dusty Rhodes won the world title from Harley Race with a crossbody off the top rope. I mean, if that should leave you no doubt about Dusty's athleticism, I mean, he can do more than a lot of people think.
Exactly. So we move into this was basically Starcade 89.
If you will.
All right, Daddy. every time I do the Dusty impression, it reminds me of a conversation. I always bring it out because, again, I have to explain. My fiance was a huge wrestling fan. She was an NWA girl because she grew up in Virginia, and that's what she watched. She didn't watch WWF. She watched the NWA. So the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette, Dusty Rhodes, that's who she grew up with. And we talk about she had never seen the character of Oz before, which we talked about. Whenever I do my Dusty Rhodes, I always do the conversation that Nash and him had about, all right, baby, we're going to call you Oz. Oz's geographic location. It's the Wizard of Oz, Dusty. It's not. We're going to call you Oz, baby. It's gonna,
oh, my God. I can hear Kevin Sullivan now. Welcome to Oz.
He tried to make it work, man. He had the hair and everything, and he really tried.
Oh, man.
I think Nash had Vinny Vegas.
Yeah, Vinny Vegas.
Yeah, he had more fun with that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who can forget Vinny Vegas? My goodness.
Now, Starcade 89, we're talking about when the planets exploded and Sting became a member of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
And this would obviously, of course, lead into, and then, I'm sorry, go ahead, Stro.
Was 89 was the one where they had the Iron Man with, it was like Sting, Muda, Luger, and Flair. And then there was the tag teams with the Steiner Brothers, Road Warriors, and
Wild,
I forget the two other teams. Wild Samoans, Yes, the Samoan SWAT and, team, right?
No, I think it was Doom, wasn't it?
Doom was in there too. Yeah.
Doom. Yeah. Yeah. It was all that. It was that, not the Round Robin, but it was all the Iron Man stuff, like you said. It was Future
right.
Shock.
Future Shock, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was Iron Man, but it was Round Robin, wasn't it? Yes, that is exactly what it was. It was a Round Robin tournament for the whole Starcade.
Poor Muda got screwed out of the whole deal. Man, my goodness. And Great Muda is amazing, you know, in the ring. My God, amazing.
I won't talk about the specifics, but I heard he was going to be on Impact, and I was like, well, I got to watch that. Muda has always been right up there as one of my top 10. I love Muda. Just for the fact that he was
a big fan.
He was always beating up on my guy, Sting. So, you know, I always had to follow Muda. Great.
Now, him and Sting had some great matches. And I tell you, you know, I mean, I know that Terry Funk and Flair were having a hot feud at the time, you know, for the title. But, I mean, Sting and Muda for the TV title, that was a hot feud.
Well, 89 is how we got we got Funk and Sting and Flair and Muda in the Thunderdome cage match. We always talk about
Thunderdome, Halloween Havoc. Yeah, that's where Muda put out the fire with the mist.
Yeah, yeah. That's so great. Burn Philly down, folks. Burn it down. This was nobody would know the difference because apparently they burn stuff down in Philly. And if you don't get that, I will explain it later. This was the first full year that WCW and Turner was running that company. And
right.
I think the Omni did about 6,000. But
right.
Again, it led to Worlds Colliding and Sting joining the Horsemen. And they had a round robin. I thought it's a great show. I love the fact that these guys, it was a round robin. It's like international hockey. That's my analogy. And these guys going like over half an hour combined, sometimes more a night if you're going to main event because you're doing this round robin thing. And of course, you ended with Sting and Flair. And they had a point system where Sting had the most points with 40. So, what do you think?
Nah. Woohoo.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that idea lasted long. You know, how many times can you do it? The round robin thing before, like, all right, we got to do something else.
Yeah, it wasn't it was long after that Flair left, right? After 89. For the
Flair
next
left. Oh man, I think Flair was at Starcade 90 because he was in a tag with Arn Anderson. I'm getting to it now. No, remember that was 90 was the year. You know what? You're a good transition, man. So we're gonna skip to it. It'll be the last Starcade we talk about tonight. We move along to Starcade 90 because there's 89 was the round robin. We're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
90 was the Black Scorpion.
Ah, yes, yes, the infamous Black Scorpion Sting in the cage.
Yeah. Now, I know Flair left.
Remember the UFO?
Yeah, the big giant UFO egg with the lights in it, yes.
oh,
man. We also had Bobby Eaton versus the Z-Man. Ugh. The Z-Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was the opening. Yeah. Skyscrapers versus the Motor City Madmen and Big Cat.
Oh, boy.
Was it Big Cat? I'm going to click on this. Wasn't that Curtis Hughes? It was Curtis Hughes.
Yes, it was.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Mr. Hughes.
Is he still around or did he retire?
No, he's still around. He does appearances every now and then. I've seen him, yeah.
That's
he's lost
great.
A lot of. I mean, he's lost a lot of weight from he was. He's really been down a lot lately.
I was gonna say he was a big guy, man. Another guy that even my drunk muscles wouldn't intimidate or try to intimidate. You know. And of course, you had Doom, Arn Anderson and Barry Windham. That was a street fight for the tag team championship. How does a street
that was
fight
pretty good.
Wrestle? It was a great match, but how does a street fight to a no contest?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. That was kind of strange.
Damn it, Jim Herd. I blame Jim Herd. Anything happens, I blame Jim.
Yeah. Oh, the pizza man. Hold the anchovy.
I can book this. I got pepperoni. We good. I can run this. We're good. And you're right. It was after Black Scorpion, which we touched upon before. But they built this up. Who's going to be the Black Scorpion? And I'll go to you in a second because I know you know who the Black Scorpion was going to be. But it ended up being Flair, and that dirty, rotten, no good snake Ric Flair tried to take Sting out in the steel cage, and once again Sting overcame the Horseman. But it was after this that Flair did leave and join WWF. Jim tried to pull his weight, and we mentioned that was still in the days where you put a deposit down for the title. And Jim said, "I want my title back." And Flair said, "I bought it. It's mine. See you later." And he left.
Yeah, he took the belt with him. Oh, man.
So I'll ask you two questions. The Black Scorpion, you told us the background before. Who was the Black Scorpion going to be? And your thoughts
It was intended, from what I understood, to be Al Perez. But something happened or another, and it's not – or either he or the company not deciding to go through with it. So, they went to their go-to guy, which was Flair. Even Flair said it, he didn't think it'd make a lot of sense. I guess it started off as a pretty good idea. It just kind of, got stranger and weirder. And I think, people kind of lost stock in it towards the end,
Sure. I just think Ole Anderson likes doing those voiceovers from the back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, the Black Scorpion voice and the Shockmaster voice sound like twins.
Yeah, eerily the same. Was it Ric Flair said, I thought maybe Ole was high that day, but he doesn't smoke pot, so I don't know what his problem was.
Yeah, he said he knew he didn't do drugs, but he could smoke pot.
I think we mentioned it before, but...
still puts it over there. Ole still puts it over that. It's the greatest thing ever, and it should have worked.
Walk up to Ole Anderson and tell him a lot of the things he did was wrong, but I would have to disagree with him on the Black Scorpion thing.
Oh,
sorry, Ole.
Yeah, he's got heat with everybody, even Gordon Soley. I mean, that's just Ole.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, his first words to me when I first met Ole, like, you're one ugly MF-er. He just struck me so funny as they're laughing, and that's how we broke the ice. So,
But he's pretty. So he would know, right?
Right.
He can still kick my ass. I don't even know why I'm saying these things.
That's why it's called the original Rock, Ole Anderson.
I never heard that. I'm going to take that. The original Rock, Ole Anderson. But listen, for Ric Flair to have to go into that match, and again, I know you'll agree with me, being an in-ring performer, to try to mask your personality and try to not wrestle, because Flair, again, I'm not saying this disrespectfully, Flair, the same way every time, Flair wrestled Flair style. And to go into the ring with a guy you've had 100 matches before with already and try to have a different match, he pulled it off. As much as you want to say the angle failed, he pulled it off.
Yeah, he did. He started jumping up and down and doing maneuvers that, you normally wouldn't see Ric Flair do. Just so to go along with the whole Black Scorpion deal. And, I thought he did a really, really good job as far as that's concerned.
Absolutely.
But,
the nose gave it away. Yes, I was going to say, when he came out and you saw the face, you were like, well, that's Flair. But he still tried, man. As crappy as Jim Herd's WCW was.
And the robe, too, actually, if you think about it. The robe. When he came on the UFO.
I'll have to go back and look at it again to see if I can remember the robe. Don't remember the robe.
And here, Paul Heyman on commentary, like he's terrified, was hilarious.
Oh my God, Jim Ross.
Oh my God. This is scary. Oh, here's a picture. See the robe, yeah.
Right? Oh my goodness.
Oh gosh. Oh, Flair, you've sacrificed so much for this business, Flair.
I don't see how Jim Ross kept a straight face that night. I really, you know. Oh my goodness.
I will say this though, man. We're going to end on a high note because I know you're with many, many people in a busy place right now. So we're going to end this on a high note. We're going to cut it halfway, and we're going to talk about the final years, 91 to 2000, Starrcade, next week. And there's going to be a lot to talk about because a lot of these Starrcades happened during the Monday Night Wars. So there's going to be a lot to talk about. What I want you to do now, Stro, is do what you do best. That you had to do three times this week, last week. You're only going to do it once this week. Plug the rest of your weekend.
Okay. I am currently at now and will be throughout the entire weekend at the 2004 Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Legends Fan Fest here at the Hilton University Place Hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina. All the legends and stars are culminating here from past, present, and future. I mean, tonight, Jim Cornette's doing the Q&A, live Q&A. Tomorrow, we'll be having Tully's already here. Tully Blanchard, Magnum TA, Barry Windham, Kevin Sullivan. Tomorrow, we'll have Ricky Steamboat, Arn Anderson here. And tomorrow night, the Hall of Heroes banquet and dinner. And then live wrestling Saturday and Sunday. Hurricane Shane Helms will be wrestling. Awesome Kong. A lot of exciting stuff going on. And for more information on the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Legends Fan Fest, go to midatlanticlegends.com. And for more information on me, my upcoming events and films and movies and wrestling and what have you, just go to my official website at www.thestro.com. And as always, for WCW Retro, whether it be this show or those following, if you'd like to call in at 1-855-VOC-RADIO.
And remember, I'm gonna remember to have you do that when we do the show next week. Always end your intro with call-in number because I will always forget to do it because I don't usually do a call-in number. That's the only thing you got to do, and then I'll just ask questions.
That's great. That's great. We got to get a commercial. We got to get commercial for Retro.
Yeah, you know, everybody else has a commercial. We're going to have a sticky commercial. I'm going to have to yell at Brady. Brady, I'm coming for you, Brady. So
I think it's cool that Shelly Martinez says, I'm Audi 5000. I mean, God, that'd be like really, she says that's a cool way. I just wish we had some like cool cliche we can kind of use for Wet Drill.
Sure. I don't think I can sound that cool, man.
I couldn't either, but maybe we can come up with something, I guess. That's kind of halfway decent.
You know? Oh, man.
Right?
I thank you, as always, for joining me. Like I said, next week we will do Starrcade Part 2 with Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. For him, I am the above-average comedian, so they say, Dan Colicchio. Find me on Twitter at DanLaw83 every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. HIAC Talk Radio takes a look at the world of MMA and pro wrestling. Follow us all at HIACTalkRadio.com. And again, we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody!